This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sam and Lucy on FUBAR.
Excuse me, can I please talk to you for a minute?
Everybody, it's just gone 6 o'clock and you're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's me and Sam, we're with you till 8 o'clock today. We're freezing our nips off in here, I'm wearing a little shawl, but you know what, it's going to be okay, we're going to get through it together, because you know what, we're bloody fantastic guys, come on, get excited, get with it. Oh yeah. You alright over there, Sam?
Very happy, mate, yeah.
Ooh.
A little bit cold, as we've talked about.
It's cold, but you know what's going to warm us up? We've got three guests.
Three guests.
We've got Celebrity Chop.
Yes.
Around the world in 80 seconds. We've got so much going on.
We have. The way you said, do you know what's going to warm us up? We've got three guests. Was as if we were all going to huddle naked.
Is that not the plan?
It's not the plan.
Whoa, naked? Naked? Why did you throw naked into the mix then?
Because isn't that the way you do it? I'm sure it is. I'm sure to conserve body heat, you have to be naked. That's what they do on the films, isn't it?
Who told you that?
I'm sure I've seen this happen. Not like person, on the
Did
films.
Did Justin Lee Collins tell you that?
I'm sure it wasn't him. No, on the films. Have you seen Love Actually?
Yeah, I've seen Love Actually.
Right, okay.
Oh, and with the sexy girls and the guy from My Family.
So the guy from My Family / the BT adverts, no one knows his name, but everyone knows his face.
Everyone calls him Nick.
He's Nick from My Family, okay.
Yeah, that's the one.
/ the dad from the BT adverts. So the dad / Nick goes to America and meets these girls who are obsessed with the British accent, right?
Yeah.
He has nowhere to stay. They offer him to stay at theirs, but it's a really cold house, they say.
Yeah.
And we've got no pyjamas. Let's huddle naked.
Yeah, but that's because they got no pyjamas.
Is that what it is? So why can't they just stay clothed? There must be a reason they're stripping off.
Well, you don't want to sleep in the clothes you've been wearing all day, do you? Unless you're at a house party or something.
It happens, Luce.
My point is, the three guests are actually all on the phone today, which doesn't matter. They're still going to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, but no body heat.
If they were here in the studio with us,
yes,
I would not be asking an app designer, a researcher, and
a student,
and a very exciting student. To strip off and hug me.
I know, but the way you said it was as if that's what was happening.
Why strip off?
If I could clip this up, what we've just done, the top of the show when, you know, you did the intro.
Yeah.
You said, we're freezing our nips off in here, but do you know what's going to keep us warm? Our three guests.
Yeah, okay. And I did mean that either they'd hug us or, you know, the excitement and chatting to them keeps you warm.
Okay, was that right? That's
but
what I meant.
I mean, even if I was going to pretend that they were actually going to be here in the studio and hug me, that's what I was going to go along the lines of, but I had to nip that in the bud because you brought naked into it.
Right, okay, I see your point.
Yeah.
We could have stayed clothed, I suppose. It's the film's fault. It always is the way.
Right, can people get in touch with us? Can you tweet at FUBAR Radio and let us know, do you have to be naked to be warm when huddling?
It's a good question. But that's the question. This is down to the films, isn't it, really?
What films?
Love Actually.
No, In Between Us. I've just thought of something where they do it.
So they get
that
naked
is
as well,
when
right.
they're on the boat and they punch the fish,
they
tell Simon
off.
To get naked because he's fallen in the water and he stands there with a little sock on his winky.
And do you know why
winky.
That is? It's because he's in his wet clothes, isn't it? So he needs to get out the wet clothes.
So it's only when they're wet. When you're wearing perfectly dry, normal clothes...
It's fine, is it?
I think just keep them on, mate.
And I should say, for those people who work at FUBAR who now listen at home, the studio is dry because they're going to be panicked.
The studio is dry,
yes.
But very, very cold.
Freezing cold.
I mean, Mr. FUBAR, I thought we'd got through to you about this.
It's not just his fault, though, as we've explained before. This building is owned by another company. It's their problem, isn't it?
The king of FUBAR?
No, it does not work. The building is shared by a number of companies, isn't it?
Is he a czar? The czar of FUBAR. Do you say czar like it's a Z or tsar?
I've never heard that word in my life.
Shut up, you have.
I haven't.
T-S-A-R.
T-S-A-R.
Yeah, czar, like a Russian czar.
No, that's star spelt incorrectly, isn't it?
You're such an idiot.
Your phone would sort that out for you, wouldn't it? Your phone would just... No, come on, I know what you've tried to say. You've tried to say star.
How do you say it? Well, this is what I'm asking you. Is it? I think it's czar, like Z.
Right.
You pronounce it Z-A-R, but it's T-S-A-R. Because I'm pretty sure the T is silent, but I don't know if you say czar or czar.
And what's it Russian mean?
Czar, it's like, okay, I can explain this to you. It's like a version of an emperor or a kind of like a king, like a non-monarchical king. So like czars of Russia and
stuff.
Right,
this is all going over my head. It's gone.
Over your head. You know what won't go over your head?
Go on.
Can I tell people what we're going to be talking about later? My thing that I'm really excited about.
Okay, yeah, go on.
Okay, so Sam sent me loads of brilliant ideas this week about things that are going on with young people, important issues, really exciting stuff. And, you know, normally he's the silly one.
Yes, normally.
And really serious stuff. I mean, well done.
Thank you.
But I ignored all that and I went, no, this is what I want to talk about. Heat, as in the magazine, not the form of temperature, have released their 100 weird crush list.
Yes, we're not going to get into it yet, but
yay!
Yeah, we're going to be talking about it.
Weird crushes!
But they're all men.
Well,
that's what I don't quite understand from this.
Do they
list.
Not do a male and female one? Right.
So why haven't we got the female one as well to talk about?
This is one of those things, and I'm not one of those people that. I mean, I'm a feminist, and I like to point out things that are sexist, and I hate it when people go, "Oh, but if it was women, then they'd be." I hate all that nonsense.
Okay.
But in this case, I do think if they had released one about women, it would have been like, and I mean, this is still bad. Like, I mean, it's like a guilty pleasure, this list, I must say, because I still feel guilty, but I like to take the piss out of it. Sorry, swear jar, if that counts. Ding, 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 ding,
ding. Swear, definitely ding, 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 ding. Swear jar.
I don't have a swear jar. I have Dr. Pepper.
Right, okay, you'll have to drink that and start putting money in it.
Okay. Anyway, but if they did a weird cross this with women, maybe they do, but I don't think they do, then I do think it would be a bit like, oh my God, you're just saying that because she's not size 8, da da da, which is fair enough. And you should also be saying that about the men, but it's also really fun to look at the list.
It's going to be interesting when we get into it. But it is a good point, isn't it? Like you say.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I hate, like, the Diet Coke adverts is a good example. You know, that really fit guy cutting the grass.
Yeah.
And then there's all those girls like, hoo, 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 and they roll a can. They're like, take your shirt off. We've got you all wet. If that were a woman, would that be okay? But then, I mean, we've been subjugated for so many years. I think we can have our turn.
Wow.
That's probably it's not powerful. A very PC thing to say. But
it's not very PC whatsoever.
It's just, it's like in that film, P.S. I Love You. Have you seen that?
I haven't, but it sounds like the sort of thing I would like.
You'd love it.
Who's in it? Because that is the sort of film that I would watch.
Loads of people. That American woman who's really famous, and her name escapes me right now. I think she's the one in Dallas Buyers Club.
No idea.
Incredibly famous actress, Oscar nominated, I've forgotten her name. And then the Irish guy who's... name also escapes me.
This is, so you've given me an American woman and an Irish man.
Right.
How am I supposed to get anything from that?
It's such a famous film. I'm kicking myself here. Tweet in at Fubar Radio. Who stars in it? Because I can't bother to Google it. But no, the reason I bring that up is because Lisa Kudrow's in it. Right?
Okay.
Off of Friends, Phoebe. And she's like a real man-eater.
Is she? In life?
Well, I don't know in life, but in the film she is, in P.S. I Love You. And she goes up to people and like she just says to guys, like, are you single? Are you straight? Have you got a good job? And if they like answer correctly, then she'll just get with them.
Really?
And stuff like that. And so she's really bolshy and forward. And then some bloke says to her, like, oh my God, you shouldn't treat men like that, which is true. But then she's just like... yeah, but I've spent the last 25 years of my life having my ass pinched and having men shout at me.
This is fictional, isn't it?
Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's the whole... everyone else in the world has seen P.S. I Love You, so they all know what I'm talking about.
Now, I think I have, but you just need to name some actors and actresses.
It's the one where he dies of cancer and leaves her a load of letters, so she goes to Ireland.
This is awful.
Oh, you can't bring I'm up sorry.
I've probably seen
that
it.
That wasn't
but
a
let's
spoiler.
Not talk about
he dies at the start, and it's all about these letters he leaves her because she needs to like go and find herself, and she falls in love again with the one from the thing. Oh God!
Right? Can we never talk about films ever again, please?
Oh, I love films.
Never ever talk about films unless you actually know who's in it.
The Oscars are happening now, aren't they?
Well, not quite because of the time difference.
When are they happening?
They'll be like overnight.
That's
something I've got to kind of work out if I'm going to do tonight. Am I going to stay up for the Oscars or not?
Normally I would, but this year, I'm not. I don't know why. I've seen loads of the films and there's loads of great films. I'm just not that enthralled this year. I don't know why.
So you've stayed up in previous years to watch the Oscars?
I did last year.
Did you stay up last night to watch the Raspberries?
No.
You didn't? Not as into the Raspberries?
No, I like the Kermode Awards, which I haven't actually watched yet.
Right, so this is...
Mark Kermode, film critic.
Who works for another radio station.
That shan't be named.
Right, as long as it won't be named.
It shan't be
named.
Right. It's rubbish.
Well, it's not, is it?
Shh. It's rubbish. FUBAR's
it's
better.
It's not rubbish.
FUBAR, greater than unnamed station.
Can we say that?
I can.
Okay.
Sue me. Go on, unnamed station. Sue me. I actually waited then for like a phone call or something.
It's not going to come, is it? Because I don't think they're that bothered what we think.
Hey.
But what happens with these Kermodes?
Oh, it's just basically he's a great film critic. He's my favourite, and he does his own Oscars. But
right.
The Oscars are they're a little Mark Kermode, and he can't nominate anyone that's been nominated in the actual Oscars. I think.
Okay.
So all the winners are people that haven't been nominated. So I think last year, Tom Hanks won Best Actor, for example, for...
Captain America? Captain Phillips.
Captain Phillips.
Okay.
And Emma Thompson won for...
Nanny McPhee.
No, help me.
Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, God, what is wrong
Love Actually.
Me? I'm so tired.
I've named three Emma Thompson films then.
Literally, this is making me sound like a total film idiot.
Yeah, well, it does, yeah.
I'm
just an idiot, full
films.
Stop.
I'm tired.
Let's never talk about films again.
I'm sorry.
Ever.
I don't really know what's happened to this intro. I sincerely apologise. I've got a bit mad.
Well, do you know what the other thing you said was within the intro, and this is what I wanted to bring up. You said, we're fabulous.
We are.
Should we go around saying it, though? Do you think at the top of the show we should say, we're fabulous, carry on listening because we're great?
Well...
Is that the thing to say?
It's quite camp of me, but I'm in a bit of a camp mood.
It was quite camp. I did think that at the time.
I'm going to be honest. That beginning intro...
Yes.
I wasn't with it. I got a bit overexcited.
Well, to say we're fab... Yes.
And I'm not going to listen to it again because I'm quite embarrassed.
I'm going to clip it up and play it again next week.
Oh, no, you are as well.
Yes,
no,
I am.
No, don't do that. You know I don't like listening to myself.
I could even have it clipped up during whilst we play a song. And we
That's
play
not funny.
Within the show.
You're so mean.
Well,
I just won't listen. I got a bit overexcited. And right, so we haven't been here for quite a while. Because as we all know, last week was a pre-record. So I haven't been here for ages. I've just
like
been
10 days,
sitting reading books on my own quietly. I haven't really been talking much.
And not at all, no talking?
Well, no, it's not like a vowel.
Your voice rest?
Well, it was just, I wasn't talking as much as I normally do.
Okay.
And I've been doing a lot of like singing in the car and stuff.
Right.
So I've been going a bit mad on my own. And I think I just got in here and like the bright lights are on and I saw the microphone and I just went a bit crazy. And I'm sorry for saying we're fabulous, but I think we're pretty great.
I don't know if it was more egotistical or more camp.
I think I was going for camp.
Okay, so it was like, we're fabulous, darling.
I didn't, because that's how I talk in real life. I didn't mean...
Fabulous? Do you?
Yeah.
She's fabulous a lot.
Not with you.
No,
we're
okay.
Not there yet.
Okay.
You must have had a darling or a doll or something in a text from me. Everybody's a doll nowadays.
Really? No. See, you need start using that with me.
I think I call you like mate and bud and stuff like
you
that.
You do call me bud,
I
yeah.
I have two different... So you either get a mate or a bud... Or you get a doll or a darling.
But I am an overuser of mate. I love
Which
mate.
Which makes me use mate.
Everybody uses mate around me because I use it so much. And that's not a bad thing, I think. I've invented a new word, though.
Shut up, have you?
Have you heard of bae?
Bae, as in before anyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
May. It started as an accident. I tried to type mate, spelt it wrong, sent text
right.
to one of my best friends, Daniel.
May. What the hell's May?
Mate before anyone else.
But no, that'd be my bae.
Yeah, no, but you don't have to. You just drop the B.
No, you can't do that because it'd be my bae.
Well, hang on. Bae is kind of reserved for predominantly partners, isn't
right.
it? Rather than best friends.
Yeah, I call my dog bae.
Right, dogs.
That's the only
okay.
person
family
I call
members.
Bae. Sure.
That's who. What bae is reserved for.
Yeah.
Mae is like, we're close, but you're not quite before everyone else, but we're mates. Mae.
I mean, I'm sorry to pick you up on this.
Go on.
May.
Yes.
Mate anyone else.
Mate, yeah.
That doesn't... I don't...
I know it doesn't stand for something, but
it's my bae.
I understand what you're saying, that my bae would be... That's the actual acronym for...
Mate before anyone else, my bae.
But what I'm saying to you is don't get hung up on the acronym. Just take mate and take bae and just merge them, May. And the bit you need to bear in mind is it stands for mate before anyone else, but my bae doesn't sound that good. So we've just got May. What do you reckon?
I mean, why make it an acronym if you're not going to follow the rules?
Because it doesn't really work. There's a lot of acronyms where they drop certain letters.
Like what?
Right. Top of the Pops, top of the pop. No. When there's words,
you idiot.
When there's words like the, of,
I can actually think of one.
Go
but
on.
I don't want to tell you.
Go on. No, because you're going to prove me right.
I'm going to actually. The reason I thought of this one is because of there's a Sussex sketch troupe,
okay.
Kids with Beards.
Kids with Beards.
Yep, that's what they're called. They're doing very well recently, and I watched.
They drop the with, don't they?
No. They did a sketch about this.
Oh, did they?
They
okay.
did a sketch about this, which is why I now think of it. So I thought I should credit them. About MILF.
Right.
There's one.
Mother, I'd like to.
Miltefer.
Right.
And that was their whole
two
sketch.
Two is dropped.
This guy was saying Miltefer.
It happens all. Dilf is the same. No T in Dilf or Gilf.
Royalf.
What's...
Richard Osman, I'd like to...
Okay, I think we need to get into what? This next, what? Don't we? This is to do with weird crushes, which we won't get into now because this needs a whole 10 minutes to itself. What we'll do, we'll start the show properly and then get into it. But I can tell you're absolutely itching to talk about
Genuinely, I've got it all written out in front of me and I got stars and everything.
Right.
I'm really excited.
Save it.
Richard Osman!
You've told everyone what's coming up in the show? Do we need to remind people?
Coming up on the show, yeah, let's remind them. Why not? Well, we've got Celebrity Chop, of course. Hang on, can you say Celebrity?
Celebrity Chop. That's not bad.
Thank you. I've been practicing. Everyone's favourite game. And then we got I'm Challenging Sam to take us around the world in 80 seconds in news, which he doesn't normally do. And if he
just
does,
once,
he does it. He's done it once. And even then, it was rubbish. So, you know, let's see how that goes. We're going to talk about drinking and the fact that young people are drinking less.
Do we believe that?
Well,
right, we'll find
that's
out.
That's a whole other kettle of fish. We've got When I Grow Up, which should we tell people what that is or wait?
I think just set it up. Just say who we're speaking to.
We've got When I Grow Up, we'll be talking to Vincent about his career. Do you want me to say what the career is?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Simply, nice and short.
We're going to be talking to Vincent, who's an app designer, which is very, very cool. And we're going to be talking about the latest way students are making money. And honestly, we're so excited about that one.
Yes, we
are. So students, poor, making money. I mean, there's a new way of doing it. And it's so exciting. You have to stay tuned for that one.
Definitely.
But first, can we kick off with my thing?
I think we'll kick off with your thing, yeah.
Which is my Naughty Naughties tune of the week.
Yes, and it's picked by you for a change. It's not been picked by you for weeks.
That's so unfair. I've picked it every week but one.
No, twice I've picked it.
Have you actually?
I think twice consecutively.
One time
I
did just send you a text saying Beyonce.
Yes.
That was once.
So I picked that one.
That was once.
Because all of Beyonce's best songs are in the noughties. I had a lot to choose from. It's not like
I know.
I knew what Beyonce
but
meant immediately.
I chose the artist and the song this week. So let's see what you think of this. I don't know if it's going to be your thing, Sam, so let me know. This is MGMT with Time to Pretend. Enjoy Lucy's Naughty Naughties tune of this week.
Let's make some music.
naughty noughties tune of the week, MGMT, Time to Pretend. I love that one. I think that was a good choice of mine. I'm coming out with some corkers recently.
Wasn't bad.
No?
Well, it was Daniel Bedingfield, was it?
Oh my God. You pick the one week I let you do it, Daniel Bedingfield comes out. I've had like Top Loader, MGMT, Beyonce.
Yeah, remember, well, I've given you Daniel Bedingfield and Blue Cantrell and Sean Paul. I'm giving you forgotten songs that are kind of underrated.
I hadn't thought about that, Time to Pretend. When was the last time you thought of that song? Exactly, hardly ever.
I suppose, and that's what that feature is supposed to do, isn't it? Remind us of how good that decade was in music.
Very true. During that song, we had a lot of messages in, because I couldn't remember the people in P.S. I Love You, very embarrassing. Gerard Butler, for goodness sake, and Hilary Swank. Oscar winner and everything, and I completely forgot their names. So thank you for everyone that tweeted at FUBAR Radio to let us know about that, because I had forgotten, which is quite embarrassing. I do know about films, I promise. I do.
I think just give up on the film stuff.
I will.
You're no queer mode.
I'm never going to talk about films again.
Unless.
I mean, that's a lie.
Unless you come with a piece of paper that says lead actress and lead actor's name.
This is the thing. I know a lot about films, just not actors and actresses, I think. I'm just bad with names.
Which you kind of show off your lack of ability in the actor and actress kind of area in Pick of the Pot. In what's that game we do?
Celebrity Chop.
Celebrity Chop, yeah.
I forgot what it's called.
Do you know why? I said Pick of the Pops because I've just been looking for a bed called Pick of the Pops, which is a quite famous piece of music that you will become familiar with when we get into this next bit of chat.
Which is what we were talking about before the break, and Sam was telling me off for talking about this before MGMT.
Yes.
This week, my thing to talk about is not a feature or anything like that. It's just a thing that I'm very excited about. Heat, the magazine, have released their 100 Weird Crush List.
Yes.
Very exciting. And me and Sam have both said a couple of weeks ago we wanted to talk about our weird crushes anyway.
Yeah, because I have a new one. That's why I wanted
have
to talk
you?
About it. Yeah.
I have so many. The thing with me is someone just says a name and I'm like, yep, 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 them too. Mm-hmm. All of them. Yeah. But you're more refined.
What I wanted to talk about, and I think I suggested it to you last week, I was like, I've got a new man crush.
Which is?
Well, I should tell you why it's weird first, shouldn't I?
Okay, is he on the heat list?
No, he is not.
Okay, let's talk about him first, then we'll go through the heat list for the listeners.
The reason I would call that crush weird is because he's a man, and on the whole, I'm a heterosexual, which means I'm into girls.
Yes, well done, big words,
Sam. Okay, so this man...
Yes.
Is he's a big film star. I think there's many people who find him attractive. He's only a weird crush to me just because my sexuality.
You generally prefer women.
Well, I think I do. I'd call myself a heterosexual man.
So who do you fancy? Just tell me the bloke.
It's James Franco. What do you reckon?
Okay.
I just think he's cool.
Yeah, you're allowed. Allowed. That's fine.
I feel like he's in a lot
it's
of.
It's a bit boring, Sam.
James Franco.
A bit boring.
Is it?
Not him, but like fancying James Franco. It's like, eh.
Why?
It's like
too obvious.
It's like saying you fancy Jamie Dornan. It's like, yeah, everyone does.
No, I don't think so. He's no Jamie Dornan, is he?
No, but no, I'm not saying he's as good looking, but it's just a bit boring. What's he most famous? What's his most famous film?
That one, 127 Days.
Ah,
didn't
yeah.
he have his arm chopped off? Not that I've seen it, but
was
I know he's
leg?
In that. Was it? I don't know. He had to chop some off, didn't he?
I mean, I know who he is, and I just had a quick look. He's really good looking. I mean, that's
oh,
not... That's not...
Yeah, but I explain why that's weird for me.
He's very traditionally good looking. And before we go into the heat list, I just want everyone to know, if you weren't listening earlier, if you just tuned in to us, welcome. But we do... We're not necessarily condoning the weirdness thing.
No, definitely not.
I want to pick this apart, because the whole weird crush thing is ridiculous anyway, because it's, you know, conforming to this preconception of beauty, blah, blah, blah. Not interested. So, if we go through this list, you're going to hear it if you haven't already read this list. We're going to give you the top 10. Some of them are ridiculous. It's like, why are they weird crushes? I'm genuinely getting a bit angry now. This is a bit Lucy's Twisted Knickers almost.
It is a little bit.
I fancy, I would say, 90% of the people in the top 100.
Really? So, well, that's 90,
maybe 80.
Isn't it? That's exactly 19 people.
I mean, maybe it's a bit less than that, actually, having a look at it. Maybe I don't fancy all of them. I mean, okay, so let's talk about the top 10.
Okay.
Sam.
Yes.
Can you run me through the top 10 of the Heat's Weird Crush List 2015?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
At 10, a very weird one for me. He's from the Inbetweeners. He's a comedian. He's massive. It's only Greg Davis.
Woo!
Yeah, cheer every time. Because I've got that as a sound effect.
Yay!
So great. Thanks, Luce.
It's all right, mate.
At 9, a name I have never heard. I should say a little bit about him, but to be honest, I don't know him. It's Mark Jenkins.
Woo, I don't know who that is. I'll Google him in a minute.
Yeah, have a good look, see
Yay!
If it's a weird thing. You Google that now.
I'm Googling.
At 8, it's who? Not a question. Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi at number 8. At 7, Richard Iowardi. Actor, an all-round funny guy.
Yay!
At 6, one that's not weird for me whatsoever. A guy who dominates our TV screens and has Mary Berry all excited. It's Paul Hollywood.
Love rat.
Don't say that.
Love rat. He's a love rat, Sam.
You're going to get yourself sued. We don't know he's a love rat.
Love rat.
At 5, another weird one on the weird crush list. He shouldn't be on there. He's a pop star, for God's sake. It's Ed Sheeran.
Ed.
At 4, another weird one for me. This guy's very, very good looking. It's comedian and TV presenter Matt Richardson.
Yeah.
At 3, this is extremely weird. Why would anyone fancy this man? Richie Osmond.
Yeah, I love you, Richard.
At number 2, not to be confused with Matt Richardson, it's comedian and all-round small person, John Richardson.
Woo, really fit. Not weird at all.
And at number 1, he's been kind of dominating our TV screens for like 6 months now, particularly this last week. He's been part of a massive event that has been doing my head in. And previously he did Strictly Come Dancing, so apparently people like him in sequins. It's Jake Wood from EastEnders
fame. Yeah, Jake Wood. Okay.
Who are you having a look at now?
I'm trying to look at Mark Jenkins.
Do we have any idea who Mark Jenkins is?
Okay, I'm struggling. I'm sorry if we're being incredibly ignorant, guys. But the top thing that comes up is an artist, and I don't think that's him. I don't understand who this guy is, because he's either... Oh, no! Star of Channel 4's The Hotel.
Oh, him!
Okay,
well, it's weird.
That's unusual.
I think what we do
he
now
wouldn't
is...
wouldn't be in my top 10.
We've got to work our way through the top 10.
Yes, please.
And you tell me if you fancy this person or if you do not.
Yep.
At number 10, we heard it was Greg Davis.
Yes.
He's a teacher in The Inbetweeners. Do you think that's why people fancy him?
He was a teacher in real life, wasn't he?
Was he?
Not heard this? There's a brilliant story. He was a teacher, drama teacher at school, and he left to be a comedian. And he was doing Parents' Evening one night, not long before he quit. He just started going around the circuit. And Milton Jones... As in...
The other comedian.
Yes, met up with him as Parents' Evening, because his son went to that school, and ended up just talking about comedy for like an hour and a half.
Oh, really?
Just a little comedy.
And they'd seen each other on the scene? They knew of each other?
Ah. I think, Greg definitely knew of Milton. Milton was like, oh, yeah, I've heard of you. Yeah, I understand that Greg Davis is not traditionally good looking, but I like a funny guy, and I fancy Greg Davis. I fancy him.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Number 9 then.
I know that's weird.
We're going to have to skip number 9 because it's Mark Jenkins.
Mark Jenkins, which I don't fancy him.
Okay, and we didn't until about 10 seconds ago know who he was.
Yeah, sorry, Mark. I'm sorry.
I don't think this is that weird because anyone who plays Doctor Who is pretty cool, aren't they? Surely.
Yeah. And also, he's an incredible actor and he's Scottish. I've got a thing for Scottish guys.
Okay.
Obviously, he's a bit old for me.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's no... I mean, not that
we're
Greg Davis
isn't... We're talking about fancying him. We're not settling down with these people.
I mean, Thick of It's just legendary, brilliant. Doctor Who's amazing. Yeah, I found the tick for Peter Capaldi.
Okay, number 7. I don't think he's that weird at all. Pretty good-looking guy, Richard Iowardi.
I definitely fancy Richard Iowardi. I mean, this is the problem. If people are basing it on his most famous character, which is obviously Moss from the IT Crowd, then maybe that's a bit strange because the character's so weird. But Richard Iowardi is an incredible film director and writer. It's baffling.
This kind of Moss character, right, that Richard Iowardi plays so well, he seems to have taken on. I think people now don't know what's him and what's Moss the character. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, so he seems that nerdiness and that out of place, out of touch with the world. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is there a bit of Moss in him, or is he taking Moss and trying?
Well, it's persona, isn't it? He's taken on the persona from Moss, which probably he put a lot of that into it himself. It wouldn't have just been Graham Linehan's writing. Linehan. I never know how to say it. He's probably just part of his public persona now. Like, I really want to read Richard Iwadi's relatively new book, which is him interviewing himself.
Okay. And Iwadi, it's called Relatively New Book. That's its name. Is it?
No. I think it's called Iwadi on Iwadi.
Okay, brilliant name.
I might be wrong, but I really want to read that. Because, yeah, he's just taking on this character. But I'm sure he's not like it when he's directing film.
But we're giving him a tick, Richard Iwadi.
Big tick. I'd say the biggest tick so far.
Okay, at six, Paul Hollywood.
Love Rat, no.
What are you saying?
No, I don't fancy Paul Hollywood.
Okay, we'll move on. He's got the nicest eyes, and I like the accent as well.
He's got shark eyes. He's got steel blue shark eyes.
Yeah, and you
man.
Just look into them and get lost.
Oh, do you fancy Paul Hollywood? Is he your only tick so far?
He's the one on there that, for me, is probably the best looking bloke on there, despite being slightly older.
I mean, I'm not a fan of that whole, like, slick back hair and the shirt tucked into the jeans, the hands on hips, like, yeah,
imagine
I'm here.
What he can do in the kitchen.
Whoa! Keep it clean.
I am. He's a sick cook, isn't he? That's how he's got his job.
I mean, he's a cross for me. Him and Mark Jenkins are my only crosses so far.
Okay, five was Ed Sheeran.
This is a tricky one. Like, I don't fancy Ed Sheeran. I'm chucking that out there now.
Right.
But he's a perfectly good looking guy. He can sing. He seems really nice and funny. He hangs out with Ron Weasley. Like, why is he on this list?
I don't understand it, because all of these other people are kind of actors that play odd characters.
Yeah, so in that way it makes sense because of the personalities.
Exactly.
Strange. Like Greg Davis has played, the shouty teacher and stuff like that. Peter Capaldi has played shouty, sweary, the thick of it. But why Ed Sheeran? He's lovely.
He's a massive pop star. How can we possibly say having a crush on one of the biggest pop stars in the world is weird?
It's
don't
odd.
Get it.
Their ideas of... I mean, I'm assuming... are they basing this on looks?
I think so.
If so,
that's it.
What kind of ideas of looks have they got? Like Richard Iwadi, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, good-looking guys.
Oh, ridiculous. Although I am giving Ed Sheeran a cross because I don't fancy him.
Okay, but you can see why other people would.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay. I just don't myself.
At four was Matt Richardson. For me, good-looking guy. I quite fancy him myself.
Yeah, I don't fancy him, which is weird. I think it's weird that I don't fancy him, rather than it's weird that I would fancy him.
But a lot of people do fancy him, surely.
A lot of people do and should. He's perfectly
Have you seen his hair
pleasing.
Close up?
Yeah, I've seen him live. I've seen him. Right. I've seen him perform stand up before.
He's been in this room, sat in that chair before.
Has he sat in this chair?
And his hair is incredible.
I'll never wash my rear again.
Never. Don't. Like I don't know what his hair routine is, but it's.
Quiffy. Is it kind of quiffy?
It's a lot of it, isn't there? For quite a small guy.
Well, as I say, I saw him before he got the X Factor gig, and it was the same week that he'd had his first little tiny Guardian article written about his stand-up. And after that, it was just like, whoa, made it. And his hair was just normal. He was just this normal bloke about our age now. Like, he was in his early 20s, tall, lanky, quite funny. And now he's like a big star.
He is,
He's all big and famous. It's very strange.
At three. Now, this is the one you want to talk about, isn't
it? Boop, 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 boop.
Richard Osman.
Right. Now, my friend, my lovely flatmate, tweeted Richard Osman.
Okay, to say
and
what?
I didn't know she'd done this.
What is he even from? Pointless?
Yeah, he's a Pointless, but he's like this big... He's a producer.
Right.
And he's created like 100 different TV shows, like Deal or No Deal and stuff like that.
He's famous for a lot of formats, is he?
Yeah. Like, he creates all the formats. He's sort of known by a lot of people. But he also does loads of panel shows. Have I Got News For You? QI? Da-da-da-da. He's on loads of things. And he's just all-around funny man. But my friend, I didn't realise she did this last night, tweeted Richard Osman.
To say?
This actually happened. He hasn't replied.
Of course not. Why would he?
I can't believe she did this. Number one on my friend Lucy's bucket list is watching Brassed Off with you. Just thought you should know.
What's Brassed Off with?
It's a film.
And is Richard Osman in it?
Nope.
But she tweeted...
She tweeted that to him.
Read it again. It makes very little sense.
Number one on my friend Lucy's bucket list is watching Brassed Off with you. Just thought you should know.
at Richard Osman, presumably he's
at
in there.
At Richard Osman, number one, etc. And then at the end, at Luciana Gray, so we can take a good look at me.
Why would he care what your number one thing on your bucket list is?
Don't know, Sam. But that happened.
Did you have a word with your friend and just say what was going through your head?
Well, I think I found it so funny that it was...
You let her off.
I let her off because that is hilarious that she's done that. Because we don't tweet celebrities. We don't really tweet much at all. We just sort of retweet the odd thing and tweet mm-hmm. each other with funny pictures of like a goat on a lilo and it says whatever floats your goat.
Very nice. I like that sort of thing.
That kind of thing. We do that.
That's what Twitter's for. But tweeting Richard Osman really odd things isn't.
It's just because I'd made some comment. Because I was really... Last night, I was really tired. I'd had a very long day.
Right.
And I'd had a few glasses of schnapps.
What is it? What even is schnapps? I thought it was a made-up thing.
No, because we had a load of friends around. They left a load of booze. And we were like, oh, we really fancy a drink, but I haven't got any wine in. Normally, I'd just sit and have a couple glasses of wine.
Because it's quite social to drink wine.
Yeah. But we had peach schnapps left, so we just sat there drinking peach schnapps
last night. Anything or just straight?
With mango and orange juice.
You sound like you're on holiday somewhere.
They left all of this stuff from their pre-drinks. So I was drinking that, and we got chatting, and she was like, what would cheer you up right now? And I said, either watching Harry Potter with Alan Rickman.
Right.
Or watching Brastoff with Richard Osman. And she was like, which would you prefer? And I said, probably the latter.
Right.
The Ozmeister.
I would have gone that. I mean, I didn't realise that this would ever be a predicament that was going through my mind in my life. However, I would go for the latter as well.
Exactly. It's a tough call.
It is. It's not a tough call.
Really?
Rickman's not for me.
I don't fancy Rickman. Rickman's more of like a mate way.
No, I don't want to be mates with Rickman.
Oh, I do. He's awesome.
He's not.
So I went for the Osman thing.
Yeah.
And she then tweeted him.
Maybe you should get your own back. Who's her, like, number one favourite?
She only fancies one person.
Who is?
Literally one person in the world.
Who's that?
Douglas Booth.
Right. Tweet him.
All right.
And that one's not weird. I like Booth myself. No idea what he's from, but I've seen his face. I like it.
I mean, Douglas Booth... But that's the thing. Douglas Booth's actually fit.
Yeah, I know.
So her version would be... The epitome for my flatmate would be...
At
Douglas Booth, number one on my flatmate Fairby's bucket list is watching Coronation Street with you. Just thought you should know.
Do it now.
All right.
Otherwise, this conversation we've just had is completely pointless.
Hey!
I feel like
Are you trying to do a little pointless pun, or did that just kind of...
No, that just happened. Okay, I feel like we've come to... You know, that would make sense if you now tweeted her.
So, in a nutshell, I fancy Richard Osman, okay? Can we move on?
Right, at number two, then.
John Richardson, comedian, 8 out of 10 cats, the one that isn't Sean Locke or Jimmy Carr. Jimmy Carr is also on this list, by the way. He's number 13.
Not that weird.
If you're wondering. Not weird at all. Don't understand it. John Richardson, why is he a weird crush? Is it because he's got a high voice? Is that what
possibly,
they're basing
on?
This is absurd. I've seen him live and I was just like, I'm so attracted to you right now. He's fit, he's funny, he seems like a nice bloke.
Very nice bloke.
I mean, his voice is a little high, but we all have, you know, weird stuff.
And at number one, this one is for me quite weird, but I think it's been made by the fact he was on Strictly Come Dancing. Not Simon Webb, not Scott Mills, Jake Wood from EastEnders. Lucy, what are you saying?
I can't decide whether to be honest with you or not. Okay.
He's not listening, so be honest.
Okay. I don't fancy Jake Wood.
Okay.
At all.
That's fine. I don't either.
I don't fancy him at all.
I don't
think no, this is why I'm saying this so emphatically, because people are going to think I'm lying.
Okay.
Consciously.
Yes. What does that mean?
Like,
I know, right. I mean,
in that sense, like when I think about it,
okay.
I do not fancy him at all.
Watch,
I'm a dedicated EastEnders fan and Strictly fan.
Why are you wasting your time?
Shut up. So he's been in my life a lot recently.
So when you said you've had a busy week, what you mean is I've been sat on Twitter, hashtagging
EELive. I couldn't go on Twitter, actually, because I had to wait for it to come on iPlayer.
Okay, so you've been actively avoiding Twitter.
Actively avoiding
because
Twitter.
Because it's been some kind of one big massive spoiler alert
all
for the
I've
whole
been
week.
All I've been doing is just sitting refreshing iPlayer over and over and over again.
Oh, because you've got no TV in your house.
Because I've got no TV licence. Anyway, I don't fancy Jake Wood at
okay.
all. But I've had a couple of dreams.
About Jake Wood?
Yeah, nothing too bad, but a bit
Do I want to hear about this?
No, this is what I'm saying. This is why I said, should I be honest? Nothing bad, just a bit of like kissing.
With Jake Wood.
We didn't go any further than that. But then I wake up and I'm like, what the? Why am I dreaming about that? I don't fancy him. Why can't I dream about people I actually fancy?
Did you not wake up fancying the pants off Jake Wood?
Right, this is what I thought would happen, but it hasn't. I've just been disturbed.
Really?
Because I really don't fancy him. And I don't understand why. Like, I had a dream about Daniel Radcliffe. I don't fancy him at all.
But what I mean is, when you woke up, were you still in love with him after the dream?
When I woke up with the Jake Wood dream, hell no. Still okay. Nothing there
right.
At all. I was just like weirded out by myself.
Yep.
Daniel Radcliffe, afterwards, I did fancy him a bit.
Yeah. It's happened to me. I've dreamt about not only actors and actresses, but real life people that are in my life.
Yes,
friends.
Yes. I've done that in the past where you dream about them and you're like, you never thought of that, and you wake up and you're like, oh.
I now quite fancy you.
Hello. And then when you next see them, are you then like, oh, no, wait, I don't fancy you.
No, I'm still in love.
Oh.
I've even fabricated people in my mind before. One of my friends from school, they don't have a cousin. Yet in my dream, I met their cousin, started to date their cousin, and when I woke up, I was so annoyed that cousin didn't exist. I wanted to have children, spend the rest of my life with a fictional cousin. Just happens.
It does. It's a weird thing. But that's what I've had. It's been an ongoing like battle with me with Jake Wood, because I've dreamt about him quite a lot. And it weirds me out because I don't fancy him. Why can't I have a dream about, I don't know, Richard Osman? It's not
fair.
Well,
that's a weird one.
Why can't I have a dream
about
Hemsworth?
Did you vote for this list?
One of the Hemsworths.
Did you vote?
I didn't vote, no.
If you were to vote, who would you have gone for?
Well, this is the thing. Do I go for someone that I fancy that I think is weird?
No, it's your vote. You've only got one.
Because this is hard. Because say someone, like, I really fancy Richard Osman, but I don't think that's a weird thing to fancy. Because he's funny and smart and tall. That's nice.
You've got one vote, Lucy. Please just tell me who you vote for.
My weird crush. Oh, my God, it's so difficult.
Come on, because we've got to move on.
Weird crush, Greg Davis.
Really?
Yeah.
Not Richard Osmond.
Well, he's not weird. That's not... Okay, fine, it is Richard Osmond. I'm lying.
Thank God we got there in the end.
I'm sorry.
Right. Coming next, we will be talking... I mean, I enjoyed that crush, the weird crush stuff, Luce, but we've got to move on.
We've got to talk more
serious stuff. We're going to tackle drinking, and particularly drinking of people our age, because apparently we're not doing that much of it anymore. We'll find out more after this. It's new from Rudimental and Ed Sheeran.
I've been spending enough time, couple women by my side. I got sinning on my mind, I'm sipping on red wine. I've been sitting here for ages, ripping out the pages. How'd I get so faded? How'd I get so faded? Oh, no, no, don't leave me lonely now. If you loved me, how'd you never learn? Ooh, color crimson in my eyes. One or two could free my mind. This is how it ends. I feel the chemicals burn in my bloodstream. Fading out again. I feel the chemicals burn in my bloodstream. So tell me when it kicks in. For a lover, thought I'd find her in a bottle. God, make me another one. I'll be feeling this tomorrow. And Lord, forgive me for the things I've done. I was never meant to hurt no one. And I saw scars upon a broken-hearted love. Oh, no, no, don't leave me lonely now. If you love me, how'd you never learn? Chemicals burn in my blood. bloodstream. Fading out again, I feel the chemicals burn in my bloodstream. So tell me when it kicks in. Scars upon him,
voices in my mind calling out,
broken hearted,
voices in my mind calling out,
that sore scars upon him,
voices in my mind calling out,
broken hearted,
voices in my mind calling out,
that sore scars upon him,
voices in my mind calling out,
broken hearted. I saw scars upon him.
Voices in my mind calling out.
Broken hearted.
Voices in my mind calling out.
I saw scars upon him.
Voices in my mind.
Don't tell me when it kicks in.
Ed Sheeran and Rudimental. It's called Bloodstream. You might have heard that on Ed's album, but a nice and acoustic-y version. But that's the original. Rudimental and Ed Sheeran in the studio together with some kind of like drum and bass slash acoustic thing. It's quite good, that. Bloodstream, I think you can get it now.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah? Happy with that?
That was a good seven for me.
A good seven.
I quite liked it. But then I like the... That's the problem with me. I liked all the Ed Sheeran-y bits. And then,
but you didn't like Rudimentals.
But then when it got a bit rudimental, it was okay, but not quite my jam.
Okay. Luce, you did a great job of talking about weird crushes, but now we need to get a little bit more serious.
Yes, and I think that's a good idea.
Something that young people and students are kind of known for, rightly or wrongly, is excessive drinking. But according to statistics...
What I make?
I hate that word.
Statistics?
That were released last week. Apparently... Binge drinking in young people is on the decrease, and on the increase is young people who don't drink at all. We are joined now by Jonathan Birdwell, who's a senior researcher at the think tank Demos. Our guest, Jonathan, we first need to ask the question, should we believe these statistics?
Yeah, I think we should. They've been consistently tracking this kind of over the past 10 years. I think the methodology is robust. But I think what's happening is probably a combination of things. I think probably when people hear those statistics, the first thing they think is that, this is because, of an increase in the British Muslim population, who, of course, don't drink and are forbidden to drink as part of their religion. And I do think that's part of it, but I don't think that's the whole case, because if you look at the increase of the British Muslim community or other ethnic minority communities that don't have a culture of drinking, and the increase between 2001 and now, it's not enough to account for the decline that we're seeing in drinking figures. So I think it's part of the story, but that's not the whole thing.
So what other reasons do you think it is? I mean, one of my suggestions would perhaps be fitness, and that a lot of people my age I know are very conscious, they go to the gym a lot, so perhaps don't drink as much because of high calorie content. Do you think that's a viable reason, or do you think it's something else?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think that's probably contributing to it. I think there's probably a couple things going on. I think you do see, if you look at the figures, quite a big drop. So there's been a kind of sustained decline since about 2003. But there was a big drop in 2009 and 2011. And of course, in 2009, there was the recession. And then in 2011, you saw the huge increase in tuition fees. So I think there's a bit of economics going on here. Young people in university now realizing how much they have to pay and how much they're going to have to pay back, looking at the labor market and seeing quite high levels of unemployment and thinking, maybe I should spend tonight in the library as opposed to going to the pub. So I think that's causing it. But I also think that maybe social media is a new technology. You know, we just have more things to do, and in particular young people, more things to do that are fun and exciting and ways of communicating with friends that don't necessarily involve, getting a bottle and going down to the park kind of thing that used to do, say, 15 years ago.
So for you, Jonathan, that is the overriding one biggest factor, social media and the fact young people have much more to do with their time.
Well, I don't know. I think it's hard to really separate one cause for this. I think it's a number of different things. And I think we'll see how, the trends kind of continue. But I do think that social media and new technologies play a part. I think just people have more things to do. They're maybe more conscious about, how they present themselves. If they have, they're more aware now that possible employers might be looking at their social media accounts, and if they're getting wasted and friends are putting pictures up that doesn't quite look good. But it's also just having more things to do, managing their profiles, creating videos, playing video games, watching free DVDs, listening. I mean, there's just more things to do, I think, than there was 15 years ago. So I do think that is a driving cause of this.
Something I was wondering is about regional differences. So I live in the centre of Brighton, and for me, it seems like not just me and my friends, but pretty much everyone I know, technically binge drinks a lot. Are there regional differences?
There's massive regional differences. So the trends are looking across the UK, but if you look regionally, there are very distinct differences. And in particular, it gets worse the further north you go. So the Northeast, I think, has the highest figures in terms of excessive drinking, binge drinking for young people, and then Scotland's even worse. Whereas I think London, it was saying, has the highest number of young people who don't drink at all. Now, I think part of that probably is changing demographics and the increase in the British Muslim population. But yes, there are huge regional differences. So I think it's important to, yes, this is a positive trend. If you think, obviously from the standpoint that alcohol can be very harmful, but you can't assume that, that everything's completely rosy. And in certain areas, obviously, there's still massive problems.
As a student, Jonathan, who lives in London, I think I would argue that not only is diversity in London a problem, but the cost of going out and drinking in London would perhaps be one factor, or certainly something that goes towards London being the place where more young people are not drinking than anywhere else in the country.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the cost is a factor. I think, although there's a lot of debate about kind of really cheap drinks, cheap high-strength drinks, and those do exist. You go to the pub and you're spending, some places in London, £5 for a pint. So I think that, especially for students, is a massive factor. I think you have to, when you think about these trends, I think the economic, situation definitely is a factor. And you see that, like I said, with this kind of substantial decreases in drinking that you saw around the time of the recession and around the time of the increase in tuition fees.
I think many public health campaigners, Jonathan, will argue that safe drinking advertising campaigns will have played a role in this. Do you believe there's a case for that?
Well, so that's an interesting question. That was another potential kind of a driver of these trends I was going to mention, is because if you look at the whole kind of drink aware and kind of drink aware labels on bottles, this kind of focus about binge drinking from papers like the Daily Mail, all of this started to come about around the same time that these trends, that these declines started to occur. So, I think you would have to do quite quite difficult, really, research to try and isolate out the impact of those types of campaigns. But I think if you look at just the time frame for when those campaigns launched and when these decreases started, they are happening at about the same time. So it leads you to think that, yes, I think, you know, they are having some impact.
Something I was wondering, we're talking about this as if it's a good thing, which obviously on the face of it, it does seem a good thing. But I guess this is where statistics kind of come to a stop, because what I'm wondering is a lot of young people today, and particularly students, this might be controversial, but a lot of young people will be taking drugs instead of drinking. And a lot of people use excuses of it doesn't give me a hangover, I don't feel sick, the calories, whatever. A lot of people do that. Do you think perhaps these statistics might hide other factors like that?
I think that's a good point. I don't know the full figures for drug use off the top of my head, but I know because a lot of the stats are around school pupils, so 11 to 15 year olds, and you do see huge decreases in that age range saying that they've drunk alcohol. And you also see huge declines in cannabis use, actually, people are reporting cannabis use. But I think, you know, obviously you have things like the new psychoactive substances, things like methadone, you know, that are coming about and people are using, and I think use of ecstasy has increased. So I think that's definitely a good point. I think overall, a lot of people look at these stats and say, you know, what we're seeing is the emergence of a new kind of responsible younger generation. But I think you're right to be a bit cautious to say, right, well, are they just not, you know, shifting from alcohol to other substances?
I think, Jonathan, perhaps the overriding thing with this is simply that alcohol isn't as fashionable as it once was. It's not cool to be going and getting absolutely wasted anymore because it affects your health, affects your weight, and also there is those dreaded pictures on social media, something that you've already mentioned. Simply, the fashion thing is the overriding factor, I think, we've learned from this.
I think there is a bit of that. And, you know, some people have referred to this trend is the AbFab generation after the program Absolutely Fabulous, where, of course, you know, the parents were kind of boozing and drug taking, and it was the daughter who was, you know, responsible and studious. And if you look at trends around alcohol consumption, that seems to be bearing out. And, you know, it's never cool to kind of do what your parents do. And if your parents are kind of, you know, drinking a bit too much and getting a bit drunk, then you're probably kind of thinking to yourself, well, I don't want to be like that. So I think there is a bit of that going on here as well.
Just before we go, Jonathan, something I just wanted to outline for everybody, because I don't actually know. What classes is binge drinking?
Yeah.
I know that's really stupid, but I actually don't know how much that is.
Yeah, no, I know. It is a bit complicated. So it's drinking more than first off, there's different unit levels for men and women, but it's drinking, essentially it's drinking more than three drinks in one drinking occasion. So, you know, that's a pretty, I think, if you
wow.
think about
me and
you Sam's go out,
just gone
yeah.
silent.
yeah. You go out with your friends, you know, three drinks, and probably a lot of the time, especially in the weekend, you tend to drink a bit more than that. So, but that is the official definition of binge drinking. The equivalent is about more than three drinks.
Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Birdwell there, senior researcher at think tank Demos or Demos? I'm not quite sure.
I said Demos, but
we
it probably
have
is
it's
Demos.
It's probably Demos. Talking about how students and young people alike are drinking less, apparently. We're binge drinking less. We're on the decline. It's gone from 29% in 2005 to 18% in 2013.
I don't know whether to believe it, but it seems to be something that's been going on since 2003, according to Jonathan.
Well, yeah, those statistics are based on people who are binging at least once a week, and it's gone down by 11%. That's massive.
I think I'd never considered it before, because I think as students we believe we drink a lot. Mm. But actually, a lot of things that Jonathan mentioned, these overriding factors such as health, I then realise that these are all the things that I'm considering before I go out drinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I don't want that picture on social media. I've got to go to the gym tomorrow, therefore I don't want to be drinking.
Mm.
I think he's spot on with everything he said.
I do think so. I don't know, because I feel, maybe I just drink too much. When he said three drinks or more is binge drinking.
Yeah, but he would use the word technically.
Technically.
I think he knew that that isn't the definition that most people would use.
Okay.
You asked him the question, what is considered binge drinking? He had to give you the technical term. But I think even he knows that maybe just three drinks isn't kind of, it doesn't cause these awful pictures on social media, and it doesn't cause kind of
vomiting,
crime, does it?
And yeah. Massive hangovers and, yeah, getting into states.
How often do you go out actually drinking?
Go out drinking?
Yes.
I would say definitely once a week.
Okay. So hangover once a week?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, once a week. Because some weeks I won't go out, and then some weeks I'll go out two or three times. So this week I've been out twice, for example, but then I probably won't go out next week.
Good for you.
You know, thanks.
You're going to be studious.
The problem is, my flatmate, we call it Corner Shop Ross, because she has this shelf full of lovely booze.
Really?
So sometimes I come in and it's just like, oh, do you want a glass of wine? Oh, do you want a cider? And I can't help myself. Oh, well, this has really made me think. I need to cut down.
You do need to cut down.
Oh, God, I'm having on-air revelations.
Well, thanks again to Jonathan for coming on and explaining that to us. I actually feel great after that. I've realised that I don't need to drink that much. I get out very little. Like, I should get out more, but...
Yeah, but that's because you've got no friends, mate.
Yeah, well, Jonathan's made me feel a little bit better about it.
Is Jonathan your new friend?
Jonathan is my new friend. I'm going to give him a text and say, thanks for coming on. Fancy a drink. How about that?
A lemonade!
Of course.
No vodka,
yes.
Kids.
No vodka. Next, Luce, I think we play your favourite game, the game that you're absolutely rubbish at.
Oh, yeah?
What? Celebrity Chop. Yeah, we'll do that next. We've still got a couple of guests coming up as well, all to fit in within just 53 minutes. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do it. This track, though, Luce, I want to talk about because it is incredible. My favourite track we're going to play today, my favourite track of the moment. Get your ears around this. It's brand new Eric Prydz, him off Call On Me, and Churches.
Wow.
How does it sound at the moment?
I mean, they're just words to me. Literally words.
We'll have a listen and then report back, all right?
Will do.
It's called Tether, Eric Prydz and Churches. It's Fubar Radio, Sam and Lucy with you till 8. Churches versus Eric Prydz. Tether is the name of the record. It is going to be massive, that. Lucy, what do you reckon?
It's an 8 from me.
It's an 8?
I really liked it.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I really did like it.
You know how we always play 99 Souls at the top of the show?
Yes.
And we've been doing it now for about 4 weeks.
Whoa, hang on. Are you going to suggest we change it?
At some point, we're going to have to change it.
No, never.
Really?
Never. Literally never.
Okay.
I think we should make a pact now, like a blood pact, that we never, ever change it from 99 Souls.
Okay.
Should we do that?
In that case, I will not go on with what I was about to say.
I mean, I saw where you were going.
Yes.
But no.
Because this track is only an 8 and 99 Souls is
it's a 10.
Right. Okay. I do like the idea that we do play the same record at the start of the show every single Sunday, because that really is such... Surely, I mean, like, no other radio station does that.
That would be a first, I think. Literally every week.
Let's do it.
At the top of the show, we're always going to play 99 Souls.
Forever.
Even in 10 years' time, when we're sitting here...
And we have a feature called Naughty Teenies Tune.
Exactly.
It'll still be 99 Souls.
It'll still be 99 Souls, hammering away at the start.
Okay, well, in that case, let's make that pat.
I do love that song.
What? 99 Souls?
Have you got it there so people can just hear a little bit of it in case they've forgotten?
Well, no, I haven't.
Have you got rid of it? Can you sing it?
I can't really sing it. I mean, I can have a look for you.
I just wanted people to hear it in case they'd forgotten. Or in case they weren't listening to the previous show. Why you wouldn't, I don't know. And they just tuned in to hear us. You know.
Keep talking.
And they might have missed it. I think before it was James Acaster before us. Thanks very much, James Acaster, for that. But if you weren't listening to him and you just tuned in like, oh no, it's 6:05, I need to listen to Lucy and Sam, you might have missed this, which is one of the best songs ever, and we play it at the head of every single Sunday show.
Excuse me, can I please talk to you for a minute?
You know it by now.
Oh, it's so good!
Okay, as soon as I press play, I now know why we start every show with it. I like Tether by Eric Prydz.
This is so much better.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
Incomparable.
But we can't just keep playing it. We've got stuff to do, Luce. I'm sorry.
Take a minute, girl.
We're going to have to stop because we're so far behind.
Take a minute, Sam.
We do this thing called running order, don't we? Which kind of is a plan of a show, what we plan to do each kind of...
And you're like a Jeep or a Land Rover trying to power through the mud that is me. I'm a load of like mud and quicksand and stuff just trying to stop you from getting through the plan of the show by talking about Richard Osman and 99 Souls
exactly.
For like 2 hours.
But I've got actual things that I want to get on with.
We've got so much. We've still got loads of guests to come on. So what's up now then? Come on, tell me.
Okay, now we're going to play the game that we normally do later in the show. We normally do it about 6:30, but today I've had to bring it forward because of guests. We're going to play Celebrity Chop. Nice one, Luce. That was your best yet ever.
Thank you.
Let's make it nice and quick today. What you can play along at home, but what Lucy here in the studio has to do, I will play a clip, very short. It's a chopped up clip of a celebrity. Lucy has to tell me who that celebrity is and in what context they are saying whatever it is the clip, you know. That's not very well explained. I've done it better before, haven't I?
They'll work it out, I'm sure. For people that are tuning into the Sam and Lucy show on FUBAR Radio for the first time, I'm awful. I'm so bad at this game. As you heard at the head of the show, me talking about P.S. I Love You, a film I've seen about 8 times, I didn't even know who was in it.
Exactly.
So I'm so bad. So let's try and beat my high score. It's probably like 2.
What we should say is if Lucy can't work out who it is or what context the person is saying, whatever it is they're saying, you can get points for creativity. So if you hear a clip and you think, oh, well, they might be saying it like this and make it all creative, you can still get 5 points. But anyway, I think we get to the first one. You ready, Luce?
Shoot.
Secret Service. Secret Service. Secret Service.
Any ideas?
That is Ed Balls talking about the fact that he is going to be auditioning Secret for the next Service. James Bond film and that he has experience in the Secret Service.
Right, give yourself 5 points because that's creative. Incorrect, woo, woo, woo. But creative. To me, that sounds nothing like Ed Balls. That, I mean, that can only be one of two people in my
Secret
mind.
Secret Service. Secret Service.
Where does he sound like he's from?
England.
What part of England?
Do it again.
Secret Service.
North?
You're getting there.
The North of England.
The North of England.
Don't make me do this. You know
okay,
it's
okay,
torture.
Okay. Well, you've given me Ed Balls. No
you
points
told
for
me
Ed
to be
Balls.
Quick.
You've been quick. No points for Ed Balls. But 5 points for creativity. It wasn't, in fact, Noel Gallagher. talking about when he had to meet the Secret Service in America.
Yeah, it does sound like him.
It does, doesn't it?
You may get a visit over the weekend from the Secret Service. And at that point, I took my sunglasses off and was like, what?
The reason he got visited by the Secret Service because there was a very special guest staying at his hotel.
Oh.
You can go and find the clip on YouTube.
What special guest?
It wasn't Obama.
It
wasn't.
Disappointing.
Celebrity chop number two. Who's this?
Gets the wombat out. Gets the wombat out. Gets the wombat out.
Oh, my God.
Can you work out what it is they're saying?
Gets the wombat out.
Gets the wombat out.
Gets the wombat out. My guess is that this is Katie Price talking about when she was in Australia with 1D. She doesn't like One Direction. It's this ongoing battle between her and Styles, the Starlinator. They hate each other. And she whipped out a koala and was like, not a koala, what's it called?
A wombat.
That's the thing. A wombat. Whips the wombat out. And it was like, because you can get chlamydia from wombats. And it was
you
like,
can.
We on Styles and give them chlamydia. Because they're stealing all the front page of Heat.
Right, 1 point for Katie Price.
Right,
very good. Yes.
Shut
and
up.
Also, I think that's.
Shut
I
up.
Much prefer this game when we do it nice and quick because you come up with better things. 5 points of creativity.
Thanks, mate.
Although she isn't talking about One Direction and an actual physical wombat, she's talking about how her boyfriend, and I think husband now, actual husband again, gets his wombat out because he's a male stripper.
But when I go and watch his show, the way it's done, the women can't touch him, and at the end, he gets the wombat out. But it's really, it's such a good show.
Right, I was going to say, my first thing to say was Katie Price talking about getting her fufu out.
Right.
I thought, no, it's Sam. He doesn't go blue. He's really, you know, PG.
Yeah, normally
I don't.
So
he won't have talked about something like that.
Well, for a change, I did.
All right, give me the next one then. Is this the last one?
Last one, just three today.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm nappy changer. I'm nappy changer. I'm nappy changer.
Any ideas?
Oh, is it? Is it? I had a complete blank on his name, but is it the
I'm
one
nappy changer.
That's just had a baby with Lauren Branning from EastEnders?
No.
Oh, do it again, because I don't know then.
I'm nappy changer.
It's not that recent, this clip, I should say.
Oh, I'm a nappy changer. Who's had a baby? Simon Cowell?
A lot of people have had babies.
Richard Herring.
Nearly everyone who's a baby has a dad.
Richard Herring keeps tweeting his baby.
Does he?
Pictures of it.
Unfollow?
Did you hear that in my throat then?
I did, yeah.
I'm really hungry.
Unfollow Richard Herring if he's
annoying
with his baby.
I think I'm
going
to have to unfollow him. It's just pictures of his baby. Do
I'm
it again.
Nappy changer.
Oh,
I'm
he's nappy famous.
Changer. A very distinct voice again.
Yeah,
come on.
He's really famous. I'm going to have to go with, I think you're maybe double bluffing, and it's actually Richard Herring talking about his new baby and how much he's changing his nappies.
Give yourself no points.
Yeah,
not creative.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it actually is the correct context. So do you get 5 points for that?
Well, surely. It's a father talking about changing his...
Right, okay, five points.
Yes!
Not Richard Herring, though. Only like one of the most famous men on the planet, Robbie Williams.
Oh!
From the best
God.
City in the UK. Robbie Williams talking about his firstborn baby. He's since had another one.
The baby came out and everything changed cosmically, spiritually, life, everything. And it was just this moment of wonder. And from that moment in, I'm in. I'm nappy changer. I'm chief burper. I'm feeder. And she's an amazing little girl.
Guess what, Sam?
Go on.
I got 16 out of blooming 18.
Your best score ever.
Unbelievably. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to top that. Literally.
Never.
Never.
Even when we did five, you didn't get this high score.
No. No, I actually didn't. I don't think I got more than seven.
And I'm really happy, Luce. That was nice and quick.
Thanks, mate.
Because what happens when we start to like run out of time is I'm like, quick, let's get things done quick so we can get everything in. So let's quickly move on to the next record. Then we'll get our next guest on. Lucy, who is that guest, please?
We will be talking to Vincent Hoy, who is an app designer. Very fantastic, from his own company, self-made, everything like that. And we'll be talking to him for When I Grow Up. How do you become an app designer?
We're going to find out next. We haven't done it in a few weeks, have we? When
no,
I grow
we're,
up.
We're returning to When I Grow Up because I got such a great guest on.
Yes, we have.
I don't know why. Why you're deceived. Said I was your freedom. Run from the past into the near. Nothing to fear. Run through the dark into the clear.
Under the Shadows, it's Ray Morris, it's Fubar, Sam and Lucy with you until 8 o'clock this evening. By my maths, 36 minutes left. Lucy, we haven't done it in a while, but it is now time to return to, I think, your favourite feature. Am I right in saying?
Yeah, I love this one.
When I grow up, what we do, we get a guest on, they tell us how the hell they got to the point of doing an amazing job. So then, when we're a bit older, we might be able to do that job as well. Lucy, who have we got today, please?
Okay, so this week, I've genuinely been trying to get someone in this field on for such a long time, and I'm dead chuffed that we finally have an app developer on. So we're joined by Vincent Hoy, who is director of Smashed Crab Studio. They're a creative digital media company. Vince, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Hi, yeah, thanks. It's great to be here.
Thank you. We just wanted to, I guess we should start, what does Smashed Crab do?
Smashed Crab is digital media, so we do programs, we do software, and we do applications as well, mainly mobile applications.
And so what kind of apps have you done so far? Like, what's been the journey of Smashed Crab so far?
Well, we've done a couple of web applications, and we've done a couple of other mobile applications for other clients as well. We're into just making things look really nice, get some beautiful aesthetics and put them together with what the client wants to get some to get a good product out.
And there was you did an app called Flat Out. What was that? That was released in September last year. What was that all about?
That was a game that we published a while ago, and it was just to see if we could get into the swing of distributing and publishing ourselves, as well as getting it out on the digital marketplaces, such as the Window Marketplace. It was like it was our company's first trial by fire to see if we could get it done, and it was good. We got a load of downloads for it, and it looked really good on our portfolio. So it was good getting the app out together, and it was good for the company overall.
Vincent, you mentioned kind of making products and making websites, apps for clients, but Flat Out, I guess, was something that you kind of just made for yourselves and published yourselves to really promote Smash Crab. Is that what happened really?
Yeah. Our first project, it was just our own IP. It was just to see if we could work. Like, when we were a company, we were really young. We didn't know we were just going to work together and then fall out with each other. So we had to go Flat Out. We got it published. It was our own IP. And it was our own project. And it was just to show that we could do it and that we could work together without falling out with each other. So, you know, it was all good.
So we want to find out what it's like to be an app developer and how you go about becoming that. What would you say are the good things and the not so good things about developing apps?
I'd say the good things are you get to do what you want, I guess. And once you put the time into getting the right skills and into getting to know the right people and to get to know like what you're capable of doing, you can make some really cool things for yourself. I'd say the bad thing is trying to survive the interim period of developing your own stuff and then trying, you know, to pay rent, to get food together. And you're going to have to do client work and you're going to have to go out and actively seek sales and other services to try and keep yourself alive. I mean, some people really like that, but I kind of feel like it's buying time to work on your own stuff.
So it's clearly a really difficult career to get into. How have you gone about doing it? What's been your path?
My path? My path, I think, is probably to start early-ish on. During university is actually really good because you've got your education going on and you're going to be exposed to people in the industry, luckily, if you're in a good university. So when you've got your house up or you're renting a place out when you're still studying, you can still go out, you can still go to the right events, you can still go to the right conferences. If you're lucky, you can find some good office space. We were really lucky. We found, an accelerator, which housed us for free as long as we kept on making the place look good, which we did, and we had to kind of earn our way into that. But it was we were really lucky to get that space. And then as soon as we graduated from university, we had the office space, we had the contacts, and we had a couple of jobs going on, so we were really lucky in that regard.
Before heading to university, Vincent, did you know that this is what you wanted to end up doing, to develop apps, or was it something you kind of discovered whilst at university?
I'm honest. Honestly, I had no idea I was going to be making apps. So it was a really pleasant surprise that I got into that. And it's worked out a lot now. It's really good. I'm heading to San Francisco in about 2 weeks' time for Games Developer Conference to find out more about, hopefully, about mobile games, how to publish it, how to optimize it as well. So that'd be interesting. And things are working out great. So I'm glad I went through it, but it was pretty tough.
May I ask what you studied at university then? Did you know you were going to go into the kind of the technology development area, even though it wasn't apps specifically you would go, you knew you were going to go into, or did you do something, you know, quite broad? Tell us what you did at university.
I did computer science, to be honest. And then afterwards, I did a master's in computer science as well in the University of Hull. And it was really low-level stuff, I guess. It was C++ and C#. But we did get exposed to development because it was really picking up pace during those times. So, a little bit of extracurricular, but luckily our module had loads of a really broad range of subjects to go on, so we could choose from there on and then kind of like work in our own time, see what we wanted.
As someone working in the industry, do you think there are many jobs for graduates, or do you think the app development market is totally saturated?
I definitely think there's loads of jobs, but I think there's a giant vacuum in London where people are just heading off to London and they're getting sucked into the city and getting paid barely anything for doing app development. You have to really work hard at it if you want to make like a real good future from it. I think it is kind of saturated right now, but at the same time, I feel like there's loads of space to grow in the industry. So if you can get into it early, and if you can try and develop your own IP in your own time, and then try and get either investors or publishers or anyone else interested in it, it's definitely worth getting into developing applications, developing apps.
Smash Crab, Vincent, I believe is your company. You were one of the kind of founders of the firm, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm one of the shareholders.
So you obviously made a conscious decision that you wanted to build your own company. Was that because there was you were struggling to find a job in this world with an established firm?
No, I think it was because after we went to this business accelerator, it seemed like everything aligned at the same place. I knew it'd be hard, and it would be easier, I think, just to get a job somewhere in Sheffield or Manchester or London or Birmingham, but I really felt like the start aligned for me to just start up a company there. That's the reason why, I think.
Do you have any advice or pearls of wisdom for anybody wanting to work in creative digital media?
That's a bit of a hard question. I'd say probably the hardworking people are the luckiest people. So if you work hard and if you really enjoy it, then you're going to be luckier than most other people.
Vince, thank you so much for speaking to us, giving up your Sunday evening. Thank you very much, Vince. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Vincent Hoy there from Smashed Crabs. You can download their app Flat Out, along with, I think you can hire them for web development. They kind of do everything.
Yes,
so check
do.
Them out, Smashed Crabs. That was fascinating. I have no idea how you get into that industry, but it seems a lot clearer now.
Well, this is the one industry that you've been banging on for ages. I mean, you've been saying, can we get somebody? And I'm like, I don't know where to start. I don't know anybody who develops apps. You've eventually gone, forget you, Sam, I'm going to find somebody myself. And we've got Vince there. Very good.
Well, it's just that I think it's just such an interesting field because obviously it's a relatively new thing still, and it's only going to get more. Every day there are more apps coming out and everything. And, you know, we all have the boring apps and stuff, but there is so much space for all these new exciting ones that kind of make big money very quickly and then it disappears again, which I think is why it's so interesting. So you'll have things like 2048 as just a stupid little game that was within a week she was a millionaire, this Gabrielle woman, but then it's gone and no one has it now and everyone's deleted it. It's just really an interesting industry, and I had no idea how you get about going into it. But Vince has told us, so now we know.
Vince has left university and perhaps, we hope, going on to make a lot of money. Our next guest is going to tell us how you can make a lot of money whilst at university.
Check out that segue.
It's not bad, is it?
Well done, mate.
I didn't write that. I just came up with it just then.
Proud of you.
Before we get into our next guest, though, I need to tell you about this great piece of music we're about to play. Do you know No Scrubs by TLC?
No.
You're not aware of it?
Nope.
Big, massive R&B song from maybe
the 90s. Well, maybe if I heard
90s.
It, I'd know it, but no, I don't know it, Sam.
Okay, well, there's been like a remake of it.
Oh, right.
South Royston has sampled it and made this. It's called No Scrubs.
Oh,
you'll recognise the sample, I'm sure you will. Let me know what you think of this, both you on Twitter and Lucy, you in the studio. As I say, still another guest to come, a student making money. We'll find out how to make that money after this. No Scrub, Spoobar, Sam and Lucy with you till 8.
I don't want your number, no. I don't wanna give you mine, no. I don't wanna meet you nowhere, no. Don't want any old time, no. I don't want your number, no. I don't wanna give you mine, no. I don't wanna meet
from me, hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub, scrub is the guy that can't get no love from me, hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub, scrub is the guy that can't get no love from me, hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. Scrub is a guy that thinks he's blind, is also known as a buster, always talking about what he wants and just sits on his broke ass. So I don't want your number, no, I don't wanna give you mine, and no, I don't wanna meet you nowhere, no, don't want none of your time, and no, I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me, hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me.
Saying loose, no scrubs. South Royston. Is that how we talk about music? You simply say a number at me.
No, I'd like to go into a full musical analysis and write a review, but it's gone 7:25. You know, we've only got 25 minutes and we've got a whole nother guest to go.
We have, yeah.
Look at me go. I've just had some Dr. Pepper and I'm feeling a bit more energized now.
Good. Good to hear. I mean, it's no good now because we've only got like 23 minutes left of the show.
But it's going to be the best 23 minutes ever.
Yes, it is. This show, you'll notice, we love to play new music. We love to talk nonsense. But one thing I think we should do, and it's our duty to do, is talk about things that are going on with students and young people.
Definitely.
Okay, and now something that kind of came to my attention, something I saw on the Daily Mail, actually.
Sam!
What?
Don't give them the clicks.
Sorry.
Carry on, because it's a really good story, though.
It is, yeah. So I was on a generic website of a generic newspaper, and I saw this story that apparently a lot of students in the UK are a new way that they are making money, okay? We're all associated with having little money as students.
Mm-hmm, which is true.
Yeah, whether we like it or not, at some point during our 3 or 4 years at university, we will have no money.
Yes.
Okay, now this apparently is a solution to how to make some money. A website called Seeking Arrangement, who pair young females with older men, and those young females make some money by going out with these guys.
Sure.
We wanted to find out more, so we've got Sarah on the line. Obviously, Sarah, for obvious reason, we are not using your real name, but I guess we start by asking, how did you get involved with the site?
Hello. Well, I met a girl in Freshers Week who was on seekingarrangement.com. She told me about the website and about her experiences, so I also joined seekingarrangement.com, and I, from there, met up with some guys, yeah, so that's how I'm into it.
The relationship you have with these guys on the website, they're actually called sugar daddies, is that the right term?
Yeah, sugar daddies, yeah.
The relationship you have with them is called an arrangement. I need to ask, what does an arrangement involve? What do you have to do? What are you expected to do as part of an arrangement?
I've had dinner, I've been to nice places, like taken to events, black tie events, been to sort of plus one, been to theme parks.
We should make it clear that what this isn't a dating website, is it, at all? You're not entering a relationship with these guys. You are paid to go.
I haven't, but it's possible.
It is possible, okay. But according to kind of like, you don't have to enter a relationship with these guys, do you? That's not what it's about.
You never have to enter a relationship with anybody. I meet people, and if it happened that I liked that person and they had like boyfriend potential, well, in that case, like any other person that you can meet.
On the practical side of this, this might be a strange question to ask, but how does the payment work? Is it like and how much? Is it they give you money for going for dinner, or you know, you have to go for 5 dates and 5 events, and they give you how much money? How does all that side of thing work?
Mainly I get bought gifts, very nice gifts that as a student I really could not afford. Or they buy me clothes, which as a student, after feeding yourself, doesn't leave much change. But I've had financial help also.
So how does it work? Do you, as a young female on this website, are you assigned a sugar daddy? Or do you go out with a number of guys? Any guy that quite likes the look of you, Sarah, they pick you and you go out with them? Is that how it works?
Sort of, yes. So they mail me and then from there we get talking. And if I have a good feel for the guy, I can meet him, yes.
You said that a good feel for the guy. I guess that is one of the potential negatives about the website, that it surely isn't that safe. There is safer jobs that you could be doing.
I think it's pretty safe, to be honest.
You're kind of given plenty of time to get to know a guy before you go out with him.
As long as you want, as long as you feel fit and you're under no, you can do exactly what you want, take however long you want. You often go to public places with them, dinners, events. Not threatening at all. It's a very much a luxury for a student.
I guess you've mentioned it there. Sorry, Luce. Sorry to jump in.
All right, go ahead, mate.
What sort of events are you going to with these guys? Tell us about some of your experiences you've had, like some of the amazing things that you must get to do, but as a student, you wouldn't otherwise get to do.
I've been to a lot of black tie events, which are nice. You can dress up nice, meet nice people, network a bit, you make contacts for yourself. I've been taken to balls. We went to nice places in London, nice nightclubs. The ones that I wouldn't go to myself with my student friends.
Something I was just wondering, Sarah, you said earlier on that it's not always financial remuneration you get, it's often gifts and stuff. And yeah. I'm just wondering, I mean, how do your friends and family know about this? Let's start with that and then I'll go on. Do your friends and family know about what you do?
All of my friends know. My parents don't know because I haven't saw fit to bring it up. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't tell them any other guy I'm dating until he's my boyfriend, so...
Yeah. I'm just wondering, I'm sorry if this does sound accusatory at all, and I don't mean it that way. I genuinely want to know what your stance is on this. The kind of ethical and moral side of this, how do you view this, you know, this idea of going out with these men on this website that you're probably not romantically interested in return for gifts? Where do you stand on that?
I see it as if I meet a guy in a club and then I go for dinner with him soon after. I see it as very similar to that. They've got potential. If I develop feelings for them from meeting them, that's a possibility. I'm open to that. It just so happens that as of yet, I have not.
Okay.
So it's not like me rinsing them. It's more like I do what they want. We go places. They buy me things in return.
Sure. Okay, so out of the men you've dated, very roughly, how many of them would you say you've actually had feelings for? Like, percentage-wise, very roughly.
I don't fall for people easily, but I've been friendly with, like, I have potential to like them. One particular one that I did like ended up moving away for work, but that definitely had potential.
Sarah, do you know girls? I mean, you mentioned that you do have friends on the site. Do you know some of your friends? Have they fallen for guys on the website?
Yes.
Okay, and how many of your friends are on the website?
A good few. Good few. Say around 7, 8.
Can I ask what university you go to? I mean, we've got the list in front of us of the kind of
yes,
numbers of
Leeds.
Students. You're the University of Leeds.
Yeah.
Okay, where 96 girls apparently from the University of Leeds are signed up to seek an arrangement. The university I go to, University of Westminster, is the one university that's got more students signed up to seek an arrangement than any other. 180. I have to say, I personally am not signed up, but there you are. I haven't got a sugar daddy. How did you find out? You spoke to a girl during Freshers Week. Was this some kind of like a representative from seek an arrangement? Were they at your Freshers Week?
Oh, no, not at all. It was a girl that I met. She was living in my halls and she had been on the website for a year beforehand.
Something else.
And she told me about it.
So there are, of course, critics of this site, which makes sense given the nature of it. And some of them would say that this is akin to prostitution. What would your response to that be?
if prostitution's eating dinner, they need to look it up, I'd say, before they cast such judgment. Mm-hmm. It's not sexual relations, not unless somebody decides that it's something other than actual seeking arrangement, and that's on their head, that's their decision as an adult.
So that totally makes sense. Very good point. And it often isn't sexual relations, and that is definitely not the point of the website. But do you not feel that there is a commodification of women going on here? That this is, although not sexual, it's buying women's time, is it not? Is it just buying women in a whole different way?
You're emphasising women here. Are you aware that boys can also sign up for seekingarrangement.com?
Right, okay. Is it not the manipulation of young people then that are in a difficult financial situation?
I see it as... It's a benefit for us as students, as young people, and also a benefit for them. It's a mutual beneficial arrangement rather than it be so one-sided or negative or any kind of stigma in such ways.
Sarah, we've kind of struggled there slightly. You've mentioned that boys are signed up to the website and you didn't want it to simply be about women. Lucy obviously has kind of casted her judgment. Do you often find it hard to describe what you do to people without them casting the same judgments that Lucy's just cast?
Well, a lot of my friends are very familiar with the website, but I have had people's remarks, but then when I tell them about it, the scene changes.
Okay, well, Sarah, thank you very much for giving up your time on a Sunday evening.
Thank you.
I think you've done a great job there of telling us all about seeking arrangements.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sarah. That was really interesting to hear
thank
about.
Thank you, no problem.
And good luck with your university studies.
Thank you, and you.
May I ask what year you're in at uni?
Third.
You're in third year. Right, so it's getting a bit serious now, like it is for me and Lucy.
I'd say.
All right, then. Well, good luck with dissertation, I guess.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Sarah. Lucy, you kept your cool just about. I knew that was going to be a tough one for you.
I did not appreciate you saying that I was casting aspersions on it. I was just...
You were asking the questions,
I was doing what you do
right,
in an essay.
Okay.
I was doing what you do in an essay, bring up the other points. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to go on air and pretend that I think that's an okay thing.
I think you were right to ask the questions. However, I did just feel a little bit sorry for Sarah. There's two of us, just one of her.
Yeah, sure, and she held her own. She's a very intelligent young person, very interesting points. And it was fascinating to hear from her. And I'm so glad we had her on to talk about something like that. And we don't normally quite go as close to the bone as that.
No, we don't. You're right.
But I genuinely think that's going to give people something to think about. Not just, I agree, I disagree, but actually thinking about the connotations of that. Why are people doing this? How are people doing it? You know, it's interesting.
Sorry, I kind of had a go at you a little bit
then,
didn't I?
You massively had a go at me.
What I was trying to say was that we can't just jump to conclusions with Sarah. She's been good enough to come on and give up her time and explain about this.
Mm-hmm.
The obvious thing would be to simply have a go at her.
Which I don't think I did.
No, you didn't.
I'm going to listen back to it because I don't think I did.
No, I don't think you did. However, she got a little bit defensive. And I think at that point I thought, right, I'm starting to worry for her.
Yeah.
That was the only thing.
I mean, she's made it very clear that it's not a site about women giving sexual favours for money. That is illegal. I think most people would agree that that is a wrong thing to do, particularly if it's women who are, women and men, who are struggling financially. But... it is still people going into some... I'm sorry, but it is a form of romantic relationship. These men and women, or gay men, straight men, whatever, there is a romance about it. Whether or not they actually do anything sexual, there is still a romance about it in exchange for money and gifts. It's like escorts, and it depends where you stand ethically on escorts. And although, as a principal, because this is what they are, aren't they? That is all it is. They just happen to be students. Although... In an ideal world, being an escort, it sounds like it makes sense and it's all okay, but you have to think about all the cases where it goes wrong, and
of course,
don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
For the negative side of it.
Luce, you asked the right questions. It was just I was trying to be good cop whilst you were being bad cop. That was all.
Devil's advocate.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
What a mate.
Still to come. You're going to be telling us what's going on next weekend. It's a Sunday today, and we hate the week, so you'll be telling us what's going on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, mm-hmm. next weekend. Winter March next weekend.
Oh, God, really?
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, my gosh. That's terrifying.
It is. 10 minutes of the show left. Sam and Lucy with you. It's FUBAR Radio, and this is Circa Waves. T-shirt weather. One for the summer, this. told you it was one for the summer. Circa Waves, T-shirt weather. Go and get it if you like it. Sam and Lucy with you for 7 minutes. It's FUBAR Radio on a Sunday evening. God, Luce. I nearly had a breakdown during that interview.
So that was an interview with a young woman, Sarah, not her real name, of course, from Seeking Arrangement, the website where people go on and basically it's an escort system.
It's
kind of like an escort system for students, and they get, you know, gifts and money and so on.
Sarah
to go to events.
Rightly pointed out there is no kind of... When you sign up to that website, you're not signing up for any kind of sexual activity.
Yes.
Not at all. So if you were to call it an escort thing, that's dangerous.
Well, escorts don't have sex. By definition.
No, by definition, but simply that Again. Term to me.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I'm talking about the literal definition of escort. But something that we were just saying in that song that I wish to God I'd asked Sarah, perhaps she can tweet in at FUBAR Radio, maybe we could talk about this next week, is why don't you guys get bar jobs? Me and Sam, both in our third year at university, both struggle for money. We both do stuff like FUBAR and everything like that. But Sam works in a bar and I clean at 2 B&Bs and I clean this woman's house. Why don't these people do jobs like that anyone can get? Why don't they work behind a till? Why don't they do these sorts of things?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but is it because they don't want to work hard? I don't know what it is. I'm not putting words into Sarah's mouth.
No, of course, I don't know
her situation.
Yeah.
But
well, that's why? What we perhaps should have done. We should have got to know Sarah a little bit better, got to know understand her situation. Then she could have said to us why it is she's picking this over a bar job. For all we know, because Sarah made it clear that she actually doesn't get paid. What she gets is gifts. So mm-hmm. Sarah might actually still have another job. We didn't
Possibly.
Get to find out. That interview, I thought we had to do because it seems to be something that's on the rise.
Mm.
I mean, we hear a lot in the press that young girls, students, are going into kind of sex industries.
And Sarah did point out that it's men on there, but it's the majority of these cases we've seen have been women.
Yeah, and that is the case.
From what I've read, it's the vast majority is women.
Yeah, every article I've seen, it all talks about young women. The website itself suggests that it's young women with older men. Although there may be some young men on there, that is the kind of...
The vast majority.
Yes, it is the vast majority.
Yeah, we don't need to feel guilty about not saying men as well.
We don't. she was quick to point it out, but actually if she visits the website herself, she'll realise that they're very clear to point out it is majority women. But of course they do that because they want a lot of men to sign up.
Yes.
What I was going to say is I personally, naming no names, know a girl who's at university, very bright young girl, who works in a gentleman's club to make money.
Are you talking about a strip club?
A strip club,
okay.
Yes. Yeah. Surely what Sarah's doing is a lot better than that.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to post that to her because I thought it was a little bit threatening.
I've given the questions I was asking and Sarah's reactions, very, very coherent, intelligent reactions
yes.
and responses. I would have thought that comparison, I think a lot of those people wouldn't like because the strip clubs have an automatic sexual connotation.
Of course.
It's women taking off their clothes,
yep.
dancing provocatively.
Yep.
And anyone that tries to claim it's not sexual, I'm sorry, piss off.
Yes, correct.
So... Yeah, I think, although there are lots of difficulties and there are differences, I'm happy to make a lot of sweeping statements and generalisations about this kind of thing in strip clubs.
Really?
Yeah.
We're not going to get into it now because we simply have no time. Lucy, I have to thank you for asking the serious questions during that interview.
That's all right.
Because we did play Dangerous Game.
Playing the nice guy.
I had to because I felt very sorry for Sarah. But what we don't want to do is give Seeking Arrangements an advert. There's loads of...
Exactly. To make it clear for one last time before we go, I have absolutely no problems with Sarah. She's a perfectly intelligent, lovely young woman. But Seeking Arrangements, I'm not going to give you free advertising. I'm sorry, but I don't believe in your industry.
Nice one, Luce.
Thanks, mate.
We should have done that interview at the top of the show and we could have banged on about it for ages, but instead we've got to go. We'll finish with it. Well, you were going to tell us what was going on the weekend.
Loads.
Simply no time. You'll just say loads. Yeah?
There's just Royal Blood, King Charles, Milton Jones, Alan Davis, Fight Star, Al Murray, The Play That Goes Wrong, and Lionel Richie all hits all night long.
Go to
and all of those places.
Go to see The Play That Goes Wrong because it's very good.
Yes.
I've seen it, loved it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Right. Lucy, thank you very much. And thank you for listening as well. It's now nearly 8 o'clock, so we'll go. Stay tuned to FUBAR Radio. I believe it's Adam Johnson.
Oh. Oh, how exciting.
Up next, Lovely after Adam. This, Blonde, All Cried Out.
When you wake up, I'll be long gone. Made the great escape, took my heart and run. There's no return, and no, I'm burning bridges down. Phoenix to the golden flames. 'Cause boy, I'm all cried out over you, over you. Boy, I'm all cried out, burning up, burning up, burning all my tears away. When you turn around, I leave my heartbreak in the dark cold of your bed. With every tear I shed, 'cause boy, I'm all cried out
over you, over you.
Boy, I'm all cried out, burning up, burning up, burning all my tears away. 'Cause boy, sorry for your